Let me just actually simplify it and say it this way. Creativity saved my life. And creativity, it's the very blood that sustains my life.
Creative engagement. Hello, I'm your host, Daniel Mandel, and I invite you to join us at the intersection of artistry and engagement. I'll be shining a light on the importance of authentic self-expression and participation in life. My purpose is to stimulate curiosity that will lead to play so that we can all live our most meaningful adventure. In my work as a coach, I create transformation through inquiry and creativity to allow LGBTQ+ individuals to address the challenges of living life as open-minded and wholehearted independent thinkers. In this episode, Antonio Aguilar Cariani describes his early years growing up in Guatemala, and I'm struck by his views on understanding and using creativity. He touches on a theme of how artists choose the audience for their output independently from the expression and the effect that creativity has on their beings. Some of this Antonio learned in retrospect. The impression that I am left with is that play and creativity help us all embody wisdom in ways that help regulate our emotions. I know that I really resonate with someone who says that creativity saved their life. I've learned so many lessons in my life through the process of learning the craft of songwriting. I also really want to honor what we have to learn from opening up our minds to other cultures and different people's experiences. You'll hear me actually mispronounce some words, as I'm not a Spanish speaker. I left a mispronounced word in when I could have edited out my own awkwardness. And I want to start to shift in myself a new framework for what I would have called mistakes. I think pushing past those feelings of awkwardness and being willing to experience some discomfort are those very places where transformation and learning become real. I hope you will look at the episode notes and consider supporting Antonio's project Casa Xpalanque, an LGBTQ+ community cultural linguistic exchange initiative. I also asked Antonio if he would be willing to contribute a statement of encouragement in Spanish, and I've put the translation to his encouragement in the episode notes. I want to keep encouraging everyone to get creative. I'm offering a free experiment to anyone who's ever wanted to write their own song. I created a step-by-step process that I think everyone can follow, and it breaks down all the aspects of finding words, feeling inspiration in your body, and the ways we can explore melodies that are fun and engaging. And I'll put a link in the episode notes so you can download the process and go ahead and try it out for yourself. If you do write a song as a result, you might even want to send me the recording so I can feature it on an upcoming episode. It's possible. This has really been a thrilling idea to interview Antonio Aguilar Cariani. Antonio is originally from Guatemala. He has been a community organizer and social services provider since his arrival into the United States at age 17. He has delved into every creative expression he's had access to in his personal life,
and even become an expressive arts therapist to bring creativity into the process of supporting others through their healing journeys. So welcome to Creative Engagement Podcast, Antonio.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It's lovely. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So I know that you are you have lots of art forms that you have participated in, photography. You've talked to me about your mask making. Let's just start in a real general sense and say, what has your experience, what has creativity and expression done for you in your life?
Oh my God. Well, let me just actually simplify it and say it this way. Creativity saved my life. And creativity, it's the very blood that sustains my life. Growing up as a kid in Guatemala, there was quite a bit of dysfunctionality around me. There was violence, not only in home, but outside. The country was going through civil war, etc. So I, you know, being also poor, I had no toys, and I was not allowed to go out and play with the other kids. So I was basically inside my house. But there was a large backyard, and there was, plants, and there were wild animals, because my house was in the outskirts of the city. So I got to actually play, and that was the beginning, I think, of developing those strategies that over time truly saved my life.
Yeah. It sounds very intense.
Yes.
It sounds like, you know, you use what is available to you to kind of heal yourself and survive. Yeah.
I mean, even if you look at, for example, positive psychology, it was started by someone who was actually in a concentration camp. Oof. So this is something that it tells you a lot about the power of the mind, but specifically the power of positivity in his case, and the power of creativity in my case. Since I was a kid, I didn't have friends, real or imaginary, but I did develop a series of characters, if you will, and stories. And I love to delve into drawing and poetry and story making, short stories, and I turned everything into a game. And again, it doesn't need to make sense for anybody else or to anybody else. It's not necessarily a matter of creating something that others can consume or use or like. Even it's your own expression. It's basically soothing yourself, helping yourself, nurturing yourself, and different parts of yourself through your own creative expression.
Right. It reminds me of the importance of play for kids to be able to develop.
Exactly. And that develop at all levels, not only social skills, language skills, motor skills, but we're talking about basically developing in general. Developing empathy, developing communication, a better communication, etc. And the same applies to adults. We keep on saying, linking playfulness with kids, but the reality is that playfulness is how we engage with life. Yes. How we dance, how we cook, how we clean. I seriously, when I turn everything into a party. So when I clean, I think of, Cinderella singing with the little birds. And as I am, vacuuming, it may sound kind of silly, but really it is what fills your heart, what inspires you.
Right. Well, it doesn't sound silly to me. In fact, now they're writing articles and encouraging adults to appreciate even just looking out the window and daydreaming,
Yes.
And these articles are targeted at professionals and serious people.
Of course.
And the world may be kind of appreciating and catching up to some of the wisdom that you discovered because of some pretty difficult circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a growing field, but there is a considerable amount of literature out there on the power of play and at all levels. And of course, we in sex, we call it the playfulness is part of everything. It's flirtatious. It's, for example, if you look at nature, courtship, and even, you know, as I guess as intense or as drastic as it may sound, animals play even after they kill as a way of releasing that energy that was, you know, accumulated during the hunt. So
it's an ongoing.
So basically, after an emotional, a strong, difficult emotional experience, shaking that up in a playful manner helps us as humans as well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Play is like people, there was a recent documentary about this man who had this relationship with an octopus. And he was describing how he saw this octopus playing. And so I think we don't really appreciate the energy of play. And like you said, it has some, it provides some release. It provides some regulation and allows energy to move in ways.
And you know, the thing, I always find it interesting when people say, oh, I'm so bored with X, Y, or Z, or this is so boring. And I'm like, wow, that's, to me, is amazing because I'm never bored. You know, for me, it's like, I like to play games, and I have games for every situation. But one of my favorite games is playing tourist in my own city. So literally started many, many years ago with a boyfriend. You know, it's something I was already playing. And then we stepped out of the house and he goes, oh, damn, I left the map in the hotel room. And I looked at him, I'm like, what are you talking about? And he looked at me and he says, you know, I remember I left it on top of the blah, blah, blah. And it took me rather a minute to finally realize, oh, this is make-believe. We're playing a role. We're playing a game, right? And the game was, we are in a different city. We just stepped out of a hotel. We left the map inside at our room, and we don't want to go back, so let's just explore.
Oh, that's great.
And it just literally became something that we did together. And so I kept on changing things. So for example, in my mind, I imagine that San Francisco is like a electronic board, and I am a red dot going, you know, beep 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 beep, beep different places. And I can see myself, visualize myself through the map going like, I haven't been to that street. So beep, 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 we're going to that street. And in that street, you know, sometimes I've been on that side of the street, but I've never been on the other side of the street. So, and also I do that. I love photography, like you mentioned before. And I love especially macro photography. So literally finding the mini worlds within everything that we see. So really paying attention to those little crevices, little broken windows, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah, and finding beauty in unexpected places.
Exactly. And that's why I really believe that a mind that is constantly curious, a mind that is constantly playful, can never be bored.
Yeah. Let me ask you, so coming from your situation in Guatemala and you moved to the States, so how has your ideas over your life and in different parts of your life, how have your ideas about creativity changed or shifted?
Considerably, actually. You know, I grew up in a poor family, and my family had this idea that art was for rich people, and art was basically so like a whimsical thing that they indulged into. And so when I started showing a proclivity for poetry and dance and this and that, my mom was like, okay, no, we are not gonna go there. And even though I was actually consistently the best in my class, and I kept on getting, you know, medals and diplomas and first prizes, my mom was like, oh, that's interesting, or whatever, if she would give me any feedback at all. And then when I actually became a teenager, and I tried to take classes, and this is classes that I'm paying for myself, okay? And I'm not asking her to pay them for me.
Right.
She would find a way to get me out, because she would say, you know, that is, she wouldn't say the, you know, a negative word like faggot, but basically that was what she was implying, that oh, that was for those weird people.
Okay.
And when I heard that, that the tone of her voice, the way she said that word, it just sent, you know, chills through my spine. And I was like, okay, I'm out of there. Because I didn't want to be that person that she saw with such, with that, you know, that quality of feeling that just felt so yucky.
Right. Real kind of shaming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely, deeply. And so in addition to that, there was also this idea that, of course, rich people, meaning upper class, meaning them and us, right? So I grew up with the idea that art and expression has to be schooled and perfected through technique and talent. And you have to be recognized and approved by your peers. You had to create pieces of art, you know? And so that's what I could never call myself an artist, because I felt that my talent, my art, my expressions were not at the at that level. And what I love about my experience in the United States is, and I've been a member of every museum, and I visited every gallery that I could go to, I have seen how broad the spectrum of creative expression can be and is.
Yes.
So that is not limited to only having attended, you know, a New York university, for example, or in school in Paris, so stuff like that. But literally, there are people that can actually never went to school even, you know.
Right. Well, Antonio, I also, like, I really appreciate hearing your story, because a lot, there is diversity even in, you know, as I'm interviewing more and more people, mm-hmm. there's such diversity in do the artists that I'm interviewing, were they encouraged by their parents? Were they discouraged by their parents? And it's not the same story. There's so many stories.
Yeah.
And so it's fascinating to hear that even after being shamed and not encouraged at all, really, mm-hmm. that you carried creativity into your life and you found a way to make a home for it.
But you know why? Because I think, and this is the beauty, this goes beyond thinking. And that is exactly the power of creativity. It bypasses the intellectual filter of, oh, I think this, or I think that, or, you know, they think that. It goes way beyond that. And it touches almost the instinct, it touches the roots of who you are as a person. And I can tell you that even though I didn't know, you know, I was not aware that I was doing this, it felt good and it felt safe and it felt me. So when I did whatever I did, you know, I drew something or I wrote a poem or whatever, it was my expression. It was almost like a reflection. I didn't have that coming from parents at all. So I had no sense of self from them, but I had a sense of self from my expression.
You're right. It makes me think of that phrase, the American, I guess, English phrase of your lived experience of creativity in your body. You kind of felt the value of it.
But you also, I would add an element that maybe many people do not necessarily identify with, but I'm asking them to hear it from, so like it takes several steps back, okay? Sure. Then don't necessarily think of it as a religious expression, but spirit. And for me, spirit means, as someone who is also Parmaya, the idea of ancestors, the idea of the energy that is in everything, and the wisdom that is in everything that is not intellectual knowledge. And so for me, I feel that in my pain, in my loneliness, I somehow tapped into it, or it tapped into me. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it gave me that resilience, resiliency that I needed to survive what I was going through. Because literally the word survive does apply. It's not, I'm not exaggerating here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Can you say more about your, the sort of, you know, the cultural ethnic aspects of?
Yeah. You know, something that I find powerful that a lot of people don't necessarily know is that, for example, language is such a powerful thing. And being bilingual means that my brain is actually thinking in two formats, in two ways of not only expressing, but also perceiving. Because even translating one sentence from one language to the other requires not only knowing the grammatical structures and rules, but also what is the right word, right? To replace one with the other with the same meaning. The same applies to playfulness. So for example, for indigenous people, playfulness is part of life. One of the deities, if you will, that you see almost in every tradition is the trickster. Mm-hmm. And the trickster is basically a character that is pure life, pure creation, pure creativity. But it's also mischievous or mischievous. I'm sure how to pronounce that correctly.
I like both pronunciations.
Oh, all right. Good. And that is also is playful. But yeah. By playfulness, and this is where a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that playfulness means you have to be silly and you have to be laughing like a clown every time. No, actually, the trickster is deeply sad. And so, because he recognizes the pain of the world. So understanding that playfulness does not come necessarily from always being quote unquote happy, or that happy doesn't necessarily need to emanate from quote unquote good experiences, that you can feel playful in the middle of loss, playful in the middle of despair even. And I can tell you that people that have gone through situations where they have survived it would tell you that this is not impossible, that actually is in many ways how they survived it.
Yeah. And that's so beautiful to hear, and I think so necessary in these times. And let me just say one quick thing that, you know, between us, we were doing a little experiment here where I asked you if you would give an encouragement to our users in Spanish. And so we're going to make that happen, and then I'm going to put the English translation on the you know the liner notes and on the web page. So thank you for agreeing to do that.
My pleasure. I'm so happy that you did.
Yeah, that's very very exciting, and I like ways that we can kind of honor the language and your experience. And I also I want to shift gears if it's okay. And give you an opportunity to promote this new and exciting idea. So could you take a little chunk of time here and tell us about what your new plans are, and talk to us about this new venture that you're working on, Casa Ixabalanc.
Close. Yeah, no, it's a hard one. It's Casa Ixbalanque.
Oh,
Ixbalanque. Yeah.
Let me say it one more time. I want to have you promote and talk about Casa Ixbalanque.
Ooh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, yeah. So this is a deeply, deeply, very precious dream of mine that I had since I was a teenager. The idea was basically, again, growing up in Guatemala, you know, with these restrictions of being from a poor family, having so many limitations, and not having a father, etc. So there were a few people that came into my life that even for just a day or a couple of days or even sometimes an afternoon that motivated me, that opened my eyes to other possibilities, to other ways of being, to other ways of living, to other realities. So I always kept this in mind, and I wished I could do the same and bring just a plethora of opportunities for youth in Guatemala, specifically LGBTQ youth in Guatemala. Yeah. And so Casa Ixbalanque, Ixbalanque is part of the myth of creation, the Maya myth of creation. It's basically the second of two twins, Unanpu, that was the sun, and Ixbalanque, the moon. And they were basically the two that created everything, basically. This is one of the many myths of creation from the Popol Vuh, the sacred Maya book. Oh, wow. And so the idea behind it is basically creating an international exchange program for professional LGBTQ people, focused on professional, artistic, linguistic, and social exchange interaction. So just to put it simply, right now I am building a house in Guatemala that is going to have many rooms. And the idea is for people to come to Guatemala, professionals, stay with us, and we will have delicious food, you know, Guatemalan coffee, all these different things. And in exchange for that, they would, for example, teach a class. Let's say that you're a painter. And so you would dedicate 3 hours, you know, three times a week, for example, to teach a class. And the rest of the time, you'll have to just, you know, explore, and we would even have someone be your guide. Or if you want to practice Spanish, for example, it could be one-on-one conversation coach, etc. So that's, I'm working with many people right now, and I'm so very excited, and I'm first opening up the invitation to anybody that would like to find out more about it and how they can get involved. Because again, this, I want it to be an international exchange program.
Yeah, and we'll put the any references to that in the liner notes, the web page.
That'd be awesome. Yes,
English interpretation of what you're saying in Spanish. Yeah, this is terribly exciting.
Thank you.
This is going to be in Guatemala.
Correct. And it's in the outside. So Guatemala is called, it's a town called Tecpan, which is about an hour, I'm going to say north, not quite north, but, you know, about an hour from Guatemala. It's a very small town, and it's almost 95% indigenous Mam. And the place is actually, the piece of land is just about 10, 15 minutes away from the town. So it's literally in the outskirts of the town.
Wow. And so what are sort of some of the first things that you're calling for that would be most helpful to
get
off the ground?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I have a lot of people that already, not a lot, but to me it's a lot, because it's the first time that people are actually connecting to this vision. But creating a mindful LGBT heart community. And this really makes a big difference, right? You and I talked about this in the past. One thing is to be, for example, a witness to someone's suffering or to someone's process. Another one is to be a loving witness. There's a difference. And the same applies here. I would love to have visionaries, people that want to contribute, people that want to see a social change, people that want to contribute financially, because, you know, I am not a rich man, so I'm working very hard to put all my income into building this house and the resources. But it's going to be a school. It's going to have a cafe. It's going to have a gallery where people are going to be able to sell and show their work. and it's going to have the hostel kind of environment. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Hostel. Well, like a little hotel, like a bed and breakfast.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, that doesn't, that didn't
not,
sound
not
right.
Not a violent.
No, exactly, no. But that's what
youth,
I was like.
A youth hostel.
Thank you. See, that's accent. I just can't tell the difference. But yeah, so like a bed and breakfast, basically.
Yeah, so people can help with, it sounds like money is welcome.
Yes.
It sounds like ideas are welcome.
Ideas, and for example, again, professional. So for example, right now I need someone who knows how to put together a website because I need to create, and I have a vision for what I want that website to be and to show. It would be lovely to have someone who knows about international law, for example. I'm working with an architect, I'm working with an accountant, I'm working with a travel agent. So I already have, I have someone who is an amazing artist developing the logo for it as a gift. You know, and everybody here, by the way, is working for free. They are actually giving of their time and their talents and the connections and their resources.
Yeah. It sounds like a beautiful vision. Yeah. So we'll have all that information in the liner notes there.
Definitely. Yes. Thank you.
So I know that we could have probably 8 hours of amazing conversation.
Easily.
So I think yes. I'll just say thank you so much, and I'd love to have you back, and maybe as things progress,
yes.
we can talk more about what's needed next.
I would love to also share with you all how things are going, because I am determined to make it happen, and I'm already in the process, very close to begin building. So maybe by June.
I'd love to hear the milestones as they unfold,
yes.
as you're achieving, you know, as your vision becomes realized and manifested.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, sweetie, so much. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Antonio, it's been as delightful as I knew it would be. All right. So I'm just going to say thank you so much, Antonio.
Oh, thank you so very much as well. And muchísimas gracias a los que estén escuchando. No le prestes atención a la anticuada idea de que la creatividad es lo mismo que el talento y las artes finas. La creatividad es cómo haces todo en tu vida, cómo lo haces a tu manera. Es esa manera única que viene de ti y de cómo ves tú el mundo a tu alrededor, y es tu regalo al mundo y a los que te rodean también. Busca a diario nuevas maneras de expresarte, de plasmar en color, en forma, en sonido, en imagen o en movimiento, lo que llevas en tu corazón. Eso puede ser parte de tu legado, de tu herencia a los que te rodean y a las próximas generaciones. Nunca se sabe a dónde puede llevarte el camino de la exploración creativa. Recuerda que una mente que deja de crear, y para crear algo nuevo, hay que aprender algo nuevo, empieza a morir. Déjame decirlo una vez más. Una mente que deja de crear empieza a morir.
Thank you so much for listening to this Creative Engagement podcast. Lifting people up through the celebration of creativity allows us to hold such open and heartfelt conversations. I would appreciate a review. You can rate this podcast and write a review in the Apple Podcasts by going to the show page. When you're on the show page, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll be able to tap to rate this podcast. And below, there is a link to write a review. You can also share each episode as a link to send in email or in chat. Be sure to tell your friends. I always put the links and relevant information in each podcast's episode notes. Thank you. I'm Daniel Mandel. Creative Engagement.